This is your girl, Sana Star, coming to you with another episode of A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman, the official podcast of the Easy Breezy Life Community. Before I jump into today's topic, if this is your first time joining us, the Easy Breezy Life is a community of strong-willed women who understand that it can be so challenging to manage faith, family, life, and pursue our goals. Well, here at the Easy Breezy Life, you're going to find a community of like-minded women who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. It's also important that I let you know that everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. Because we believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, we want you to seek out professional help in every way, shape, or form that you might need it. We are going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with this week's episode. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores. We are back. Thank you for joining me for another episode. As a reminder, this is Marriage Chronicles. And in this season, we are specifically talking about all things concerning marriage. We've talked about preparing, what my marriage life has felt like, the bumps that we could hit. Joining me today is a very good friend of mine, Dami Fenwa. You want to say hello?
Hello.
And if you want to look her up on Instagram, her social media handle is _destinydams. I will link to it in episode notes. But today we are having a conversation about before we prepare for marriage, following a non-traditional path as young African women professionals growing up in the United States, and what it means, right, to prepare and to enjoy our singleness and to be the good thing so that when somebody comes and finds you, you got something to offer. You're not just kind of just
Absolutely.
Sitting there. Okay. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, as comfortable and as much as you feel like sharing, or as little as you feel like sharing.
Hi, well, I'm Dami, and I'm originally from Nigeria. Well, you could tell from my accent. So I came to the United States when I was 16 for college, and I've been here since then. My parents are pastors, so I grew up in a Christian home, and the Christian home I grew up in is biblical and really realistic as well. My parents taught us values in life, and also those values are based on living skills and also living by God's word. So it was a very, very enjoyable place to be at.
In case y'all are wondering, Dami, she's being modest. Her dad is a pretty well-known pastor in Nigeria, and he's also what we call in my church our general overseer. And so I've had the privilege of seeing your dad and his parenting skills, his attitude towards marriage. He's counseled my husband and I in our marriage and helped us tremendously. But today we're going to talk about you.
Okay.
All right, not your daddy. So I want to start by just tell me about your like coming of age journey, right? You are a woman of a certain age. We can say that you're mature. You've accomplished quite a bit. You're working on a doctorate. You're a leader in healthcare. You own property. You got a nice whip. So one might say that the season is ripe for getting married, right? And might be applying just a little pressure. Do you feel that pressure? Where do you feel like you're in your life?
So talking about pressure, I feel like there's timing for everything. And there's a right time to get some accomplishment, to enjoy that accomplishment or to enjoy that achievement. So the pressure is not, I can control the pressure. I'm just making sure that it's God's perfect will for me, for whoever I be with. And what was the second question?
The second question is, so where do you find yourself in that journey? How do you make sense of it, right? Because for me, when I had a master's, my own place and a cool ride, the conversation every day became, when are you getting married? Your Boaz, lay on the floor, sleep on the floor until he comes. It was weird things, like drink this elixir, wash 5 times, because there's a veil that's covering your husband from seeing you. And now when I look back, I'm like, maybe the veil was I wasn't ready.
That's a great point. And I see where you're coming from, because I also want to create more value for myself, that even when I get married, that value that I create in myself right now would be something that I would use in marriage and even outside of marriage to have a good home.
You're right, right. Do you find that people are receptive to this stance, or do you find that most people are afraid or find you unapproachable?
So, part of the values I'm learning for myself is having good interpersonal skills. That no matter how successful you are on the outside, one should be able to have a regular conversation with other people, and also have a good purpose for that conversation, right? So everything might look good on the outside, you know, like, okay, you have a good car, you have a good job, even like back in school for a graduate degree. But also, I think life is really more than that. I would want a good life partner, somebody that will complement each other with strengths and weaknesses.
Okay, so let's dig deeper. Okay. Do you find that you're spending the time now learning about yourself, gaining self-awareness to know what your strengths and weaknesses are, or do you feel like that's just something we learn as part of the marriage journey?
To your point, I think that it's better to start the process at this time, knowing what your strengths are, so that when you see the strength in other people, you would know this would complement me as well. Mm-hmm. I read a book that talked about how it's good that in your singleness to have activities that you enjoy doing.
Tell me more.
Because even when you get married, there are sometimes that you have to be on your own.
That's a word. Keep going.
And then you have to have a lot of love in you, because that's what pours out into the marriage. If nothing is in you, then there's really nothing that would give out.
Wow. Let me expand on that. So what you're saying, which is the truth, right? Now that I'm 10 years into marriage, this marriage is only going to be as good as what you're bringing into it.
Absolutely.
So this whole saying, like, you complete me, might be ideal to be complete before you come in, because it's impossible for the other person to be everything that you need. And if you're expecting this to fit perfectly like a puzzle piece and to complete all the holes and fill all the crevices that you may have in your heart or in your personality or character gaps, it's not. Oftentimes, marriage is stretching us. It's putting pressure on those things, whether it be because God wants to heal us in a particular way because we can never be fully perfect walking in, or whether it's God uses the marriage to expose certain things. But this idea that let your cup runneth over before you come in, so that in the seasons where your spouse is going through something, in the seasons or that you may be going through something, the other person has enough to pour.
Perfectly said.
Yes, and I love that. I actually have never thought of it that way, but it makes me think of some of the battles and challenges that I've been through in my marriage, and maybe that's why we've been able to get through, because in our own ways we came whole. Whole in our self-esteem, whole in an awareness of who we were in Christ. Not perfect, but as a result of, you know, because both of us were over 30 when we got married. As a result of us being anchored in some way, it helped us to weather some storms. It also helped us to weather when, yeah, my husband does not like going shopping. He's never going to be a Beyonce fan, but I'm going to go to the Beyonce concert with someone else because I know what I enjoy. And in our marriage, we don't seek to be each other's best friends, which somebody's going to listen to me like, what? Your husband is your best friend? But I'm like, can he really be? Because he's not a woman. Do I love him? Yes. Is he precious? Yes. But hands down, my sister's probably my best friend. right? Because it's impossible for him as a man to understand everything that I experienced as a woman. And in the beginning, I used to put so much pressure on him to be my emotional support, my spiritual support. You should be speaking tongues over me. You should be doing, like, so much pressure. And then I realized, like, maybe he's your husband, and then there's still room for your pastor. There's still room for your mom to give you counsel as appropriate. There's still room for your friends outside.
You know, you mentioned something really important there about unrealistic expectations in marriage.
Yeah.
And also having other forms of relationship in one slot.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some roles that your husband would fill in your life that then you need your sister to be there as well to fulfill those roles in your life so you could pour such love to you, and also the pastor that have a spiritual leadership over your life as well, and even including the pastor, some mentor in your career as well. So right. There are other kind of relationships in one's life that need, so for one to be whole,
mm-hmm.
or for one to, well, from a Christian perspective, for one to fulfill their destiny in life.
Mm.
So that you make a really valid point there.
All right. So let's dig a little deeper. Have you found yourself ever close to saying yes? And if you didn't, right, or like getting engaged, and if you didn't, what was the deal breaker for you?
I've been in relationships before. And so, coming from my background, is what God says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be God's perfect will. And to make this clear, just because it's God's perfect will doesn't mean that there wouldn't be challenges in a marriage or in a relationship. It just says that it's worth going into.
Ooh.
And then whatever challenges you experience there, God will pull you off from it. But that doesn't mean there will be no challenges there.
That's a word.
So I've been in relationships before, and before going to getting, okay, and also to set it clear, I, as Christian, the goal of being in relationships is for marriage, right?
Mm.
So, I mean, in that relationship too, you could get some form of friendship or some form of, some form of other bonding with a person, right? Because you're with the opposite sex, but the whole goal is for you both to get married, right? So I've been in relationships that the goal was to get married, but it never ended in marriage because, number one, it either wasn't a good fit for both of us and we thought we should date for a while, or maybe I wasn't prepared to get married.
Right.
It's part of self-awareness here.
Okay.
Before now, I was really into myself. I learned that there are some life skills I need to learn on my own. Like, I need to either read books to learn to be better in some areas of my life. So I'm glad it never went into marriage, because even though it did, there might be some battles that we could have prevented, mm-hmm. and then maybe fight through it. But It's a good decision why I waited this long.
Okay. So I want to jump off of the point that you made about preparation, because I felt like I was reading so many books before my husband came that I was preparing. I was like doing a really great job.
Mm.
People were really shocked when I got married to my husband because it seemed very quick. But part of it was because I had spent so much
when
time.
When you say quick, how long did you know
we
him?
Dated for 3 months. And then we had a secret ceremony.
Mm.
And that was very shocking for the people in my life, because I'd always been so calculated about my decisions.
Mm.
I'd always been so careful and thoughtful. I was the person who, in my 20s, no relationship really went past 3 months because I could find a reason to disqualify. Mm. I could find a reason to rule out getting into that marriage. So like sometimes my husband says like, oh, you married me because you were in a rush. You knew that you were 31, you were getting old. I was like, no, baby.
I also think personal conviction also played a role into it as well.
Absolutely. My prayer life was a big part of it, yeah. Right? Because people were so shocked. They were like, yo, you have literally said no to so many different kind of men. Like, what was it about this individual that made you say yes? Now when I look back 10 years later, I know why it was the right yes, right? But at the time, for many people, it felt like I just was not being cautious, that I was being careless, and that I had succumbed to African pressure. And I'm like, no, I haven't. At that point, unfortunately for me, I'd kissed enough frogs to know when I had met someone of value. Right. I'm not going to say a prince, because saying a prince suggests that marriage is this fairy tale, and like, it's not. It's not what those fairy tales show you. It's not. And there's a part of me that wants to like hold those fairy tales accountable, because they were responsible for me having some really unrealistic expectations of love. But to the point of preparation, what does preparation look like for you? And is there such a thing as over-preparing for what you can't prevent?
So preparation for me is being realistic with the expectations of marriage. And realistic would be conflict resolution, because that would always happen. Mm-hmm. When you have conflicts in a marriage, how do you resolve it?
Right.
And what are the right way to resolve conflicts in a marriage? Mm-hmm. That's preparation for me. Preparation for me would be making sure that when you are in the talking stage with someone, making sure your values align. Mm-hmm. And in the marriage, you know what you both want. You know, you both want children, because not everyone wants children in their marriage. The man has a vision for his life, and you two have a vision for your life, and you both know that you would support each other's vision in the marriage. Preparation for me would be when the children come, what kind of parental support or guidance you want to give the children.
Wow. You want to talk about that before you get married?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the preparation, it's might not be so exact, like in details, but at least have an idea.
Just have an idea. Like, are you a stern parent? Are we not? Do we do timeouts? Do we not do it? Are we doing gentle parenting, like everyone's doing right now? Because I wasn't raised with gentle parenting. but some people are all about the gentle parenting together. Okay.
And talking about parenting, one thing I also would notice with parenting and what I've seen around is that people parent based on their personalities.
Uh-huh.
That sometimes the woman that is very that is not that emotional to the child will be the woman that is disciplinarian, you know?
right
and then the man that is a little bit more into his feelings or very emotional will be the one that would talk to the child more,
you know? That's so interesting that you would say that, right? Because my marriage, like, I think I thought that I would be so much more of a disciplinarian, and I'm not. And my kids know it. Like, my son knows that if daddy says, I need to do this exercise, he means it. If mommy says it, she knows that I need to, but she would just rather cuddle. And it's so interesting, because if we would have had that conversation in a pre-phase, just based on how warm and welcoming my husband is, I would have said that, oh, he's definitely going to be the easygoing one, and I'm going to be the one laying down the law, and I'm not, right? So back to your point, at what point do we prepare but give flexibility for God to move?
That's a great point. When you see that the outcome you're expecting, you're not getting that outcome back, then it's okay. You need God here to get that outcome.
Wow. That's powerful. Super powerful. Okay. Yep. Because that's it. Jesus at the center.
Absolutely.
And as you said that, I'm just reminded of, it's so easy to say we need God in a valley moment. It's different to invite God in every part of the step and journey in marriage. And I have to say that if it wasn't for the valley season, I wouldn't know that I still need to pray for his presence in the peaks.
Right.
That's something that comes with Christian spiritual maturity that marriage also teaches us, right? So this being said, if you had to think about the core needs for a healthy Christian marriage, what would they be? Not, these don't necessarily have to be like your wish list, because I don't want somebody trying to look you up in the DMs being like, oh, I know her wish list. I just want to know, like, what is optimal? What is a healthy Christian marriage from where you're sitting?
First of all, in my opinion, and based on the books I've read about healthy marriage, Christian marriage, and also listening to other people talk about marriage, healthy marriage, I think number one, both the male and the female, putting God as a center and respecting God. And using the Bible as their moral compass on what they do, on how they behave. Someone that really knows the Lord for himself or herself is number one. And also, to me too, number two would be a marriage that has a purpose, a marriage that has a goal. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows what they are, how their role or what they plan to do to achieve that goal in that marriage. Like, for example, some people in their marriage, they just want to, maybe in their career, they just want to make sure they have good careers for themselves. Mm-hmm. And each party, you know, they will do things to support each other in their marriage. And also one of the goals in some marriages is to have children that are very valuable to the world, to the earth. You know, so they know that they will do each part in raising godly children. So
once so insightful.
So both parties just have to set themselves on what the goals of the marriage would be. And there's something I've learned also, well, talking from my dad, he's great at marriage talks, and it's very realistic, that as a woman too, also look for a man that that knows that he has an edge over you in some areas. So you know that there's a reason for you to respect him.
Tell me more.
So, to be honest, I'm very pragmatic. I respect people, clearly, because that's the right thing to do, right? But then I like to, if it's in the form of a marriage or even in a work setting, if you're my boss, I like to see what values you have that I could look up to.
Competence matters.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that is a tall order. Yeah. No, I can relate in some ways.
So that's one. I'm like, okay, if I want to be with a man, what is an attribute, like qualities that I have that I would look, I'm like, oh, I respect this about you. Okay.
That's so interesting, because when I got married, my husband had a clear edge when it came to spiritual maturity. And it was where I felt I was lacking the most. And I think I mentioned this before we started recording, his self-control, his control over his tongue. And those are still things I admire about him. Things that I've fasted and prayed for in my life, they just don't seem to be coming. And what I've learned, right? So if you think about the Apostle Paul and him having a thorn in his side. And I think the thorn in our side is the weakness that probably will never go away. But can be managed under the Holy Spirit. And so what I admired about my husband was that where I was weak, he was strong, and vice versa. Now that worked for us. It also created a lot of conflict, right? Depending on how, you know, if you have a strength in an area, how do you now manage or support or tolerate the weakness of your partner in that same area in a way that's non-judgmental and loving? And I have to say that I probably haven't always done a good job at that. I think I'm just getting to a place where it's like, the strength that you have that your partner does not have is not for you to hang it over their head. The strength is for you to be an asset to one another.
Perfect, said. Sure.
And so long as we can respect what we're both bringing to the table, then we should be able to strive and thrive
You mentioned something there, respect. It's not compete with each other because you complement each other's strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you identify your strengths and you identify your weakness as well, and also the man's strength and weakness. And then you could see those things, those strengths in him. And it's okay. So this weakness I have and the strength he has, we complement each other in that way. And we mm-hmm. just respect each other that way. And then there's no room for competition because you know that one thing you're good at, your wife. It's possible that the wife is not good at that in that way. Yeah. So you value those qualities more.
Right.
Made a great point. Right. Like I'm just
thinking about it. I'm learning too in the process of this conversation. Okay. So if all the pieces came together for you tomorrow, what would have to shift in your life to make room for someone else?
Rephrase your question.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. When my husband came into the scene, I think that the Lord had to prepare my heart to share my life because I'd lived by myself in my 20s. I'd just lived with my younger sister as my roommate, which I thank God for. But in general, I was probably unbearable to live with because at the time, if you went into my closet, all the reds were organized by short sleeve, three-quarter sleeve, long sleeve, all the blues. Short sleeve, three-quarter sleeve, long sleeve. The jeans are folded this way. Dark jeans, light jeans, medium color jeans.
Great.
Yeah, but it was, my husband didn't feel like it was a blessing.
I see.
Because it felt constricting. It felt controlling. It felt like prison. It felt like, didn't you see that the toilet tissue was running low? Why didn't you replace that? There was a lot of conflict because I'd lived by myself so long that I was used to, I put this juice in the fridge. My juice is gonna be there when I get back. This is the hamper. You sort the clothes before you put it in the hamper. Why is it not sorted? So I would say that he probably felt like I was unbearable to live with. And I would say that my sister probably felt the same way. Making room meant releasing a lot of things that I thought were must-haves, but now it's like, can we balance it? So like, if we go to bed when there's dishes in the sink, yeah, is it the end of the world? Or is the end of the world, it can't do it for two nights? My husband's never gonna sort clothes.
To be honest, I can relate to you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, so I'm just talking about making room. Making room means if my strength is organization, we probably don't need two people like that.
Sure.
His strength might be flexibility. How do we meet in the middle?
Accommodating. So you make a valid point there too, because I think preparing, so I'm a lot like you, Asata. I'm very organized and I like my things done a certain way because I know that. So my own point of doing those things a certain way is that it's easy to find.
Yes, I don't want to have to be searching. I don't want to have to think about it. I just want it there. Yes.
And then I know when something is missing or when I'm going low in stock, I know, okay, because it's so organized. I know we've just taking a view of it, I know what to get next time. So like, I like that. But so the comes a bless. So now the blessings of having siblings too, they showed me the other side of me, what mm-hmm. I need to work on. So my sister came to live with me. She's an attorney now. Mm-hmm. So she came to live with me for a year in the US. And then I noticed how much I have to work on being more accommodating to other people, making people also feel warm around me.
Right.
So they don't feel like they have to be at their best behavior all the time.
Yep, I've gotten that rep. I mean, people have literally said to me, like, I feel like I have to be on eggshells around you.
So to your question was, what is something I have to make room for when tomorrow I get married would be more accommodating to other people. And having that expectation that the way I am is not the way the other person would be.
Right.
But just have to give grace.
A lot of grace.
And I also believe that it's the same way the other person will extend such grace to me as well.
Right. You hope that you're getting... That's a whole word, friends. You don't have grace. You don't have the ability to forgive. You're not merciful. Marriage, probably not the thing for you. I mean, I just had to apologize for something I did this morning. It's a lot of I'm sorry's. It's a lot of I forgive you. It's a lot of I love you still. You have to be able to have a disagreement, agree to disagree in the disagreement and say, but I still love you. It's not the end of us because we don't agree in this arena. And I think for me, I remember at one point, like, getting so frustrated in my marriage and being like, you don't appreciate what I do. If you appreciated what I do after I wash the dishes, you wouldn't just be filling it with dirty dishes. Or maybe, like, that's not his strength because it wasn't when you met him. Mm-hmm. And you overlooked it. Mm. But then the truth of the matter of it is, would I even like my husband if he was like me?
Clearly not.
No.
That wouldn't be the attraction there. There'll be no attraction
there. No. So the beauty of that I loved about him is how much he loved people and how he always just seemed to let things roll off his back. Why would I now get into marriage and now I'm asking you to become like me? Because that's what happens when you start to live with someone and become familiar with them.
Well, there's a book I read about accepting your spouse for who they are.
Oh, tell it. What's the name of the book?
I have to look back.
Okay.
To my Kindle.
Okay.
So this is about talking about preparation, because then I'm able to be very realistic in what I want in marriage or what I should be expecting. Mm-hmm. That one thing to look out for, number one, is just making up your mind and accepting the person for who they are.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something, and those things that attract you to the person sometimes could be a reason for the conflict.
Yes, it's the same thing. What I loved about you is what I cannot stand now. Yep.
So, and that book really talked about ways to mitigate those. It's just, number one, finding the advantage of why that person is like that. Mm-hmm. And that would make you appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. And also one thing that maybe in all that type of relationships, that sometimes when you hear feedback about yourself, don't think you've been criticized as a person. It's more of the qualities that you have that they're talking about, and find a way to improve in that. But everyone always have areas of improvement, and we all, like, I have blind spots and we all have blind spots, and then sometimes those blind spots is people that are around you that can tell you, well, that's what their blind spots to you.
Yes,
that could reveal those spots.
Yes.
And then those are reasons to, like, areas of improvement. Like, for example, for me, I thought I could pride myself in being organized, come to my room, it's so tidy, oh my God.
Yeah, right. It is. Her apartment is spotless. Her house, all the time.
It's so tidy. And then I'm like, oh my God. Until when people came over to live with me, and I get so agitated when... Mm-hmm. When I come back home, I see dirt on the floor. I mean, it could just be hair on the floor.
Right.
It's not a lot of dirt. But I see plates in the sink and no one is washing them.
Right.
And, like, I get so frustrated. I get so angry. I'm like, don't you know, like, insects can come to the sink when you see dirt?
You sound like me. Oh, my God. Summer bugs, the bugs, the bugs, the bugs.
Like, there's a reason why things have to be tidy. And also, it gives you a nice feeling when you go over to a place and it's so spotless. Like, you know that feeling when you go to a hotel? I want to have that feeling every time I come to my house.
Yeah.
So, like, even that's the expectation. Then when I started living with people, I started to notice that it's a good thing, but also you have to also be more accommodating. That's what makes you human.
Yeah.
That's what makes one being warm around you.
Yeah.
That And to be honest, it's okay to say, to verbalize in a very loving way.
Yeah.
So like everyone knows what expectation is. And also very loving, but don't just make it a rule
mm-hmm.
in the house or mm-hmm. a rule around people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over time, when people notice that you're being loving to them, they try to do things to please you and start to see that things are the way you want it to be. That's how it's being done over time. It doesn't come all of a sudden, but mm-hmm. over time start to see how everyone is improving on their end.
Yeah.
And it gets better.
I love it. Okay. You said something that really kind of jumped out to me, like the warmth of being accommodating. Because in my mind, and I've gotten so much better at this as a mom, the moment that I do something, I'm immediately thinking of process. And growing up, my dad would tell me like, oh my goodness, you're like the police. Somebody tells you a process and now the process is engraved in stone and it has to be that way all the time. So I'm not gonna tell you anything anymore because you don't have no chill. And I'm like, to be honest with you, despite everything I've gone through, that's still something I struggle with. Like, I feel like things should have process. Everybody should follow the process. Why aren't people following the process? Doesn't process make it easier for everyone?
Flexibility also gives room for invention. I mean, honestly, there's advantage to having process done, because then you know what the outcome is. You already know what the outcome would be anyway when there's a process, right? But then it also leaves room for flexibility, as long as the implication to that flexibility is not a lot. You know, you also have to look at the other side of it too, right?
Yeah. Yes, because there are definitely some things that I feel like, okay, in year 10, we got to really back in because I gave too much in this arena. I didn't give enough in this arena. It's a dance. And every day it feels like we're stepping not even on each other's toes, just like in a different direction. It's like, okay, today you lead the dance. Tomorrow I got to lead the dance. And knowing how to respect and honor each other's roles in our lives.
And above all, I think what the purpose of marriage in the Bible is companionship.
Mm-hmm.
And for a healthy marriage, people that, like you would say, like you find a lot of companionship with your husband.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we do.
So looking at the positive, you know, reward that you get in marriage makes you want to go above and beyond to just make sure that the marriage is healthy. Everyone feels love in the marriage. Everyone feels valued and everyone feels supported towards their goal and also respected as well.
Yeah. I love that. So, some books, podcasts, whoever you follow, people who you think give good, sound, godly advice for singles. That I might be able to link to for our listeners.
So, City Jake's book,
mm-hmm.
Making Great Decisions,
mm-hmm.
that's a great book to read. And actually, mm-hmm. your host recommended that book to me.
It saved my life.
mm-hmm. Another book is Emotional Intelligence.
Yes. Oh, by who?
The original version is by Goldman.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm. That's a good book. So like emotional intelligence really teaches one how to respond better to situations and react to it.
Wonderful.
That when one responds to an emotion, you would have a better understanding of what went on with that emotion and just then in that situation and just being angry all the time,
right?
Or being disappointed all the time. But that when sometimes when you're given a lot of negative energy, no one wants to be with you,
right?
And then emotional intelligence also makes one better control their emotions, makes you look mature, like makes you look like you're growing as well. Not that makes you look, you are also growing as right. well. Or you feel like, oh, that used to upset me before, but it doesn't upset me anymore.
Right, right, growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also another book that that really changed my life was Seven Habits of Effective People.
Oh, yes. I think there's a Stephen Covey. Yeah, great book. I feel like I could reread all of those books. It's a good season. Yes, but you know how, like I always say that, like, you know, it's not stagnant. You don't read a book and then you absorb all the principles. In different parts of your life, you might need to reabsorb or get new information or look at it from a different angle. Like, I don't think anyone can say, I'm the most emotionally intelligent being there is. If you're saying that, you're probably not. Right, and so
I think that there's always room for growth.
Always room for growth. Arrogance is a sign that there's probably much more room to grow. Right.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. And any final thoughts for the young single woman who's not like you, who's not feeling self-confident, who's not feeling like when my time is right it will come, who's maybe crying at night, who's maybe looking at other people's lives and Instagram feeds and saying, God, when are you going to send my person? When am I going to experience that joy of being married? Because the truth is that some people really are sad in singleness. How do we encourage those?
I think number one, women have a purpose and a passion in life.
Mm-hmm.
Find that, and then you start to feel like the void of loneliness.
Yes.
Passion and the purpose start to fill those void.
Yeah.
And then even while you're even working, you might even find the love of your life.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Focus on being whole and happy as you are, and that happiness might attract. Right? Like when my husband met me, I was serving at church already.
Yeah.
It was what attracted him.
Sure.
I wasn't waiting for my husband to come for me to serve in children's church. I was where I wanted to be in the church.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's what made him like, oh, this is a woman who likes children and loves serving at church. That's a good quality. I can get behind that. Right? And so if that is you, you're feeling discouraged, you've been waiting a really long time, you're like, yo, this clock is ticking. I want to let you know that I've been there, and that when I shifted my focus to what was working for me, what God was doing in me, the right person came along. I know that sounds so cheesy, but I don't want to walk away from here and not say that singleness is a real pain for some people who might be listening in. God has someone for you. Delay is not denial. The most important thing is that no matter when that season comes, that you be happy. And that your cup overflow in that relationship. So I love you. God bless you. And again, you can follow _DestinyDams. It's linked in the episode notes. And we will see you next week for another episode of A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman.